Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Captain, where are we going? We have no map. And you can't set a course without a star.
It's hard to imagine. You've served under me for 7 years.
Commander Burnham.
I think it is time we talked about you having your own command.
Tutor transport.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hello, I'm Umar Phagan, I'm Fakir Phagan. Joining me today, Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. And we're going to take a look at the long overdue trailer for Star Trek Discovery, the long overdue series that's supposed to come to our, not television screens, but our online screens.
CBS All Access.
CBS All Access, but Netflix globally. Globally. Yes, so America gets it on CBS All Access, and Netflix is going to get it globally at the same time, apparently.
But it's weekly. It's weekly show.
It's a weekly show. Yeah. Correct. So that's going to be. We've got the first trailer out. This is the first time we've seen actual footage. Special effects shots seem to be done. We get to see our main characters. This entire first trailer seems to be focused around the first officer.
They don't say her name in it, but yeah, it says Michael, right?
Michael, Michelle, yeah, something like that.
Michael Burnham. It doesn't say Michelle. Yeah. Michelle is ELLE because I keep seeing it written and they don't say her name in the trailer. Oh. So it's like... Is it Mikhail?
Maybe?
Because it's not Michelle. That's not how you spell Michelle.
Let's go with her name then. So it's focused around Sonequa Martin-Green and Michelle Yeoh, right? Michelle Yeoh.
Yeoh.
Malaysian in the Star Trek universe. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
Fun.
Anyway, so the trailer seems to be focused around them and it seems to set up a kind of new exploratory mission on the edge of Federation space 10 years before Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise. It is also set in the Prime universe, which is the original Star Trek universe, as opposed to the J.J. Abrams rebooted Kelvin universe.
I had to look this up at one point. When did this naming scheme come along? Because I thought it used to be all one.
I think it started off with the idea of it being all one, and then there were comic books and novels and this idea for a new TV series, and then they decided to diverge everything and confuse the fans.
Yeah.
So there you go. What do you guys think of the trailer?
Well, I think for setting it outside the Kelvin timeline, it looks a hell of a lot like the Kelvin timeline.
It does. There's plenty of lens flare.
There's a lot of lens flare. The ship looks a lot more like... The ship and uniform look a lot more like the J.J. Abrams version than they do the older versions.
Yeah.
It also seems the ship seems to be one of the few with its bridge under the disc part of the hull.
Yes.
Which is interesting looking. But there's a shot of it going to warp, and there's like two fins on the back, and I kept thinking of the Normandy from... It does look like Star Trek Mass Effect. I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know. There's a lot in there to unpack.
It's been 12 years since we've had a Star Trek series on air.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long time. And before Enterprise, we... had a Star Trek series on air for almost 2 decades, and of course with Enterprise, CBS seemed so averse to science fiction that they removed the word Star Trek from it for the first 2 seasons
and gave it the worst Star Trek theme of all time.
Exactly.
Which I'm wondering if they're going to do that again, because there's a
Netflix trailer
just slightly recut and with a different font, which seems... I mean, the trailer we're watching is an upfront trailer, which is for advertisers, supposedly.
Yeah, correct.
So it shows action and all that kind of stuff, and it's to wow people, not for audiences. But if the Netflix trailer is what they're going to show audiences, that looks awful.
No, that's really, really badly cut.
Yeah, really badly cut. That music is some weird space whiny rock. It's almost as bad as Been a Long Road.
Yeah, getting from there to here. Oh, God.
Don't start.
Come on.
Scott Bakula, what did you do? Anyway, so they removed Star Trek from the title of the show.
Yeah.
And then in season 3, they kind of put it back on because they thought, this thing's suffering ratings-wise. Maybe people don't know it's Star Trek.
Yeah, and then after Drowning, they got Manny Koto, I think, was involved.
That's right.
Who did Odyssey 5, and then he's started tying it in more with the original series, and it was on the way up, and then they cut it off at the knees.
Correct.
It wasn't going to save it.
I'm not confident that CBS has confidence even in this new series because, and the only reason I say that is, I think All Access is great. I think it's a good thing. I think having Star Trek and something like The Good Fight there to anchor your All Access is important. However, because Star Trek has been off the air for so long, I don't know if it still has that same pull. There's a niche audience that loves Star Trek. I mean, we grew up watching it. But I don't know if the current day millennials have the same kind of affection to it. Meanwhile, The Good Wife just ended a year ago. So there's a little bit of a draw there for fans of that show.
I've heard a lot of people talking about this, about how it should be on broadcast and should be this. But I think Voyager launched the UPN network as well.
It did, yeah.
So they do have a history of doing this. And I think it just shows this is why you're going to watch this. I think it's constantly been in the public eye. I mean, like the movies, casual people, damn casuals, they won't know the difference between the Kelvin timeline and this. They're just like, it's Star Trek, it's phasers, it's Beam Me Up, Scotty, it's Klingons. That's what it is, and that's what we'll have in there.
Yeah.
And that's what this trailer has.
Yeah. And I will say though that I'm impressed that it doesn't look cheap.
No.
There looks to be a decent sized production budget on it. The effects look really nice. What little you see of the costume designs, or even what little you see of the bridge, looks basic, but it looks nice.
Looks nice, yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, sure, there's a lot of lens flare, but even the locations, the explosions, it looks really, really good.
But what you've got to think as well is of the timeline of them producing it, the production timeline.
Yeah.
This is all probably from the pilot or the first two episodes, if it's an hour-long episode. So that's going to be a lot of bang for the buck before they head into, oh, we're trapped inside a warp bubble and can't get out of the kitchen.
That's true. Which are always fun episodes too, though.
Yeah, bottle episodes, because writing within restrictions is always
It's always an interesting one to try. Invention. Yeah.
They've kind of gone back to an older look for the Klingons too.
I don't know what's going on with the Klingons. That's a problem I have with it. It's like,
because it's not the Kelvin Klingons, it's not the Next Generation Klingons.
I don't
Klingons.
Even know what they're doing with the Kelvin Klingons in Star Trek
Into Darkness.
Yeah.
Like, they were just the world's least threatening punk band. With mess on their head. Like, the old school, yes, the crimped hair. Like, when does a warrior get to crimp his hair?
Yeah,
it was a bit much. But the idea was cool.
I thought that was cool.
They introduced it in the motion picture and on the onwards. But these, I don't know what's going on with these dudes. These look weird. And there's also the mummies in it. There's like a section with a sarcophagus that looks really the sarcophagus from the mummy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wondering if they're going to do some... The fact that it's like Star Trek is eating its tail now constantly. And I'm wondering, we've got a spatial anomaly up ahead, and with all their sensors, it's blurry.
Mm.
So I'm wondering, are they hiding something that the audience will recognize as something from the future or from something else, so they can have that tie? Because Enterprise, they didn't have the balls to go with, we're going to do a new show in a new separate thing.
Yeah.
We have to tie it into the popular shows by saying there's a temporal war going on, so we can shoehorn in some time travel, and if we really need to,
we can bring
Patrick
in Riker.
Stewart or something.
Yeah.
Although they brought in Barclay and... Well, Voyager brought in Barclay and Marina Sirtis.
Correct.
And at the end of Enterprise...
The very last episode of Enterprise,
it's Riker,
they bring in Riker and Riker, Troy, right?
Yeah, Riker uses the entire series of Enterprise as a lesson in what not to do when being in command.
Poor Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
my one apprehension, of course, is I'm really hoping I don't look back on the show and keep wondering what Brian Fuller would have done. So Brian Fuller was the showrunner, and then he left because of his commitments to American Gods and watching American Gods.
What a decision. I got to give him a like, because when he was announced, he's like, he's a lifelong Trek fan. He'd love to do it. And
correct.
He's like, but this other thing.
There's this other thing.
This other thing.
Yeah, but he's done that other thing so well.
Huh.
Watching American Gods, I mean, it's three episodes in and it's incredible.
I know that, but for him, the decision.
Yeah, I know.
It's they say, hey, do you want to do a Star Wars movie next? Like, I don't have time. Why are you doing this to me?
No, but he's got such a great track record, right? Yeah. Pushing Daisies, American Gods. He did Hannibal as well.
Yeah.
I mean, so everything he's touched has had a really unique look and had a really cool sensibility about it. Mm. And I'm hoping some of that, because he was involved in the initial planning and setup.
He was involved as showrunner, and then he was like, he said he took a back seat and was only producing scripts.
Yeah.
And then the last update was, oh, I just sent my stuff over and that's it.
Yeah.
There's no discussion going on now. He's completely out of
it. So I'm hoping they haven't abandoned all of it, and I'm hoping they're keeping some of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the production delays, that and everything, that leads more to the sense of fear. Because this was supposed to come out in May. This was supposed to be airing in March.
Yes, that's right.
And we hadn't even had the cast mentioned by then. They've been shooting it. They must be shooting at a crazy schedule, which is always good for TV,
yeah,
right?
It's always great.
It's always great to rush stuff.
And of course, now we don't even have a release date. We just know fall of 2017. Yeah. But we don't know when. So hopefully they stick to that at least.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Michelle Yeoh. Let's talk about Michelle Yeoh.
Okay.
She's in it.
Yeah.
Both you and I have a sneaky suspicion, Ian, that she's not going to last.
Yeah, there's a lot of like her first lines are like, we need to talk about you getting your own ship sometime. And then it's like, you're on the edge of space, too far away from anyone to replace your captain if something happens to them.
You know? And also the whole idea of, I can't believe you've been with me for so long. I'm like, oh no, those are all the Star Trek trigger points for like, a captain to die.
Yeah, and they've said from the start, like, it's not a captain show, it's not an ensemble show either. Mm. It's concentrating on her character.
Yeah.
So whether, you know, she's... And it's called Star Trek Discovery, so she's not going to get moved to another ship.
Well, she might be because Michelle Yeoh's character is apparently not the captain of the Discovery.
Maybe.
And we think that might be Jason Isaacs.
Yeah. Oh, you reckon?
Because Jason...
And he's not in it because he gets iced so early.
Maybe. Because he's listed as a captain as well. So both Michelle Yeoh and Jason Isaacs are listed as captains of two different ships.
The other thing, now you mentioned it, yeah, they do lead you down the garden path with them talking about your own command and then his ship appears through the clouds, which could be from episode 7 for all
that's
we know, because it's
that's
editing.
Yeah,
but also, I hate it when Star Trek ships fly in atmosphere. Those things, that's so annoying.
They're very, there's
so much there about like they're built in orbit because it makes sense to build them there because they crush under their own weight, and then you have to have for a nice image for Chris Pine, he gets to look at one of the scrapyard. I'm like, why?
You are underwater.
Yeah, don't do that. It's like take a shuttle down. The whole point of building these things in space is you can make them bigger and go faster. You have to restrict them on Earth. It's like, yeah, they've got magic science technology, but this is dumb. It should be like Voyager was originally. It's like, we're going to get out to the planet. It's like, oh crap, you know, buckle up your seats. We could die this time.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be like, oh, we're just going to pop down to get some milk. Annoys me.
Where are you going to hide the ship? Underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best idea yet.
Yeah.
So there was this article online, I can't remember who wrote it, it was by a journalist talking about how proud she was that Michelle Yeoh had kept her accent.
So is this a Malaysian one? Or
no,
is this
no, this wasn't. No, this is an American,
is an American one, right? Yeah. And I found it very interesting because I think the article was kind of riffing on the whole Rogue One idea because people were talking about how important it was that Diego Luna kept his accent in Rogue One. Now, I'm all for that. That's great. However, my only problem with that is that Michelle Yeoh sounds the same in every film she does. So I'm not sure how much of a conscious decision it was, because even when she was playing Aung San Suu Kui, she sounded like Michelle Yeoh.
Mm.
Yeah.
When she was in James Bond.
I think it's just because your ears are more attuned to it because you've been growing up with that.
Possibly. But, you know, I don't know if it's a question of range or if it's a question of an actual decision.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the other extreme, you've got complete lunatics who are going on about how there's not enough white people in the show and also, oh, why does she look like that if she has a Greek name, Philippa Georgiou? And I'm just like, guys,
nerds!
Humans are banging Vulcans and you're telling me we haven't crossbred enough in the future?
Yeah.
So I don't know why we still pay attention to these people on the internet, but apparently we do.
Yeah, don't feed the trolls. I think it looks great casting. I mean, they've got a blue guy in the bridge. That's very progressive.
That's progressive.
I think that is diversity in itself.
There's a giant robot head as well, which there also looks very Kelvinist.
Right?
It's like, that is not Star Trek. Do you ever follow like Michael Okuda or people like that on Twitter? Like, they were the guys who designed all the background, the Okudagrams for the Enterprise and Star Trek Next Generation and stuff like that. And there was a care. And like, it's the same with the Star Wars story group. There's a care that is like, we can't just throw in anything because it's cool. Yes, we should have Mandalorian battle armor here, but if it's not tied directly to Boba Fett or there's a reason for it, let's not put it in there because it raises more questions than it answers.
Right.
This has a little bit of that. It's like there's a guy with what looks like the weirdest set of headphones. It's like, what's that all about? Or remember the orange voiced crazy lady from on the bridge from one of the Abrams ones? There was like, she basically had the Sigourney Weaver role from Galaxy Quest. She just told them stuff was going wrong.
Yeah.
But she had a weird look and a weird voice. It's like, because that looks cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not because it ties into, this is not a race you've ever seen in Star Trek. It's not a race you could even say is a revamped version of something. It's like, let's make a creepy lady.
Yeah. And they always have that problem when they're doing a show in 2017 that's set before a show that premiered in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Where they keep going, oh, we've got all this cool new technology and special effects now. We want to do more stuff. stuff.
But they answered that perfectly in The Trouble with Tribbles on Deep Space Nine when they travel back in time and they were just like looking at the... They were just grooving on the cool uniforms and the retro tech. It's like, look, a 3GS, you know?
Yeah.
That's the kind of the way they dealt with it. Just like, oh no, the ships just look like this back then. Like, it's, you know, it's a result of the fallout from the eugenics wars in 1997. You know, that kind of, you can explain away all of this.
You can explain it away. I for one, am looking forward to it. It's been a long time since I've seen Star Trek on television, and I loved being able to watch it week on week.
Mm.
So, yeah, count me in.
And I just hope at some point there's a leaping off point where we can say, let's start moving forward into fresh territory. I mean, yes, it's really hard. It got really hard on Voyager and to write stories where it's not just like, they wrote themselves into a corner with spatial anomalies every week, and we'll just solve it by reversing the polarity on the neutron flow and throw some reverse tachyons at it. But good writing comes from not, like, the technology shouldn't be, you don't have to write, I think the original series, they had sections in the script where just say tech, tech, tech.
Yeah.
And Michael Okuda and other people would just fill that in with all the technology, and that would go in the engineer's manual they had. Whereas, yes, you could have magic technologies so you can get to across the planets in no time, but it still comes down to human drama and interacting with new species and seeking out new civilizations, new life.
And that's what we love most about the original series as well. And even the Next Generation, it was all about the sense of exploration and adventure.
And
that's what I want to see in Discovery and Metaphor.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, when it jumps the shark, when they introduce the Borg. When the Borg happens in Star Trek Discovery, I'm out.
Yeah. When the Borg happened in Enterprise, it was like, no. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fight the Gorn. Do something else.
The Gorn!
The Gorn were in Enterprise, were they, I think, briefly?
That would be amazing. I can't remember. I think I gave up.
Like, they put the Andorians in there. That worked. Weird blue-skinned people with antennae. They did not do that in the other movie, in the other TV series after the 60s, because it looked goofy, and Enterprise is like, we're going to go there.
You guys are getting into the weeds for this
movie. Sorry.
You completely lost me, like, 15 minutes ago.
I think we've lost everyone else
just
as well.
Just really into the weeds right now. I'm staring here going, I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
Go check out the trailer to Star Trek Discovery. It's got Michelle Yeoh in it. That in itself is enough reason for you Malaysians to love it.
Every Malaysian should watch that trailer at least 3 times.
At least. When you do watch it, let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.